Well, good evening. Greetings in Jesus' name this evening. Another little warmer day. Beautiful day out, and I hope you had a great day. Every day should be a great day in the Lord, right? Well, continue our thoughts here a little bit on our friends here. You see, there's another one here, and that's what happens with rats. We talked about that a little bit. When you have two rats, then you soon have many, many more. How many was it that I said you could have in 3 years? It was 500 billion. It was a lot. I'm sorry, it was half a billion. So 500 million. Either way, that's a lot. that's a lot of rats, okay? I hope that we don't ever let them go that long. But so we want to continue thinking about this a little bit here this evening. We got our friends here. As I was thinking about rats a little bit more, rats, I don't know what all I talked about, or I should have sort of crossed over some of these things, but rats can destroy an atmosphere, an appearance of a room or a property or a vehicle or a whatever very quickly, just not very long. And it's disgusting, right? Just last week, I think it was, a customer went to grab a pair of muck boots in the box off the shelf in the store. This is embarrassing, okay, but they pulled it out, and she comes over to the clerk. She's like, I think you might want to look at this here. There was a nice big nest in that thing, and it was stinky. No friends were there. They had gone, I guess, moved out a little while ago. But I didn't even know we had a problem in there. But somewhere, they were there, right? Who wants to buy boots that stink? Like mouse urine. That's pretty bad, right? So that's gross. I had a friend several years ago. He bought himself a nice Suburban, and he thought he could, he's going to drive this for a while. And the longer he drove it, the more it stank and stank and stank. I mean, it was horrible stinking. Only to discover that up in the headliner, there was just full of mice, dirt, and nests, and everything, urine. I mean, it was horrible. He took that down, and he got a new one, a new liner, because it was that bad. So it ruins. It ruins stuff very quickly. They can get in there. It's just gross, right? It's embarrassing if you have something like that. A couple years ago, we have a local feed mill, an old feed mill in town, and he's no longer in business, but I went in there one day. He was on his way out, but I was in there. I don't even remember what I was in for, but I was walking. It's one of these old ones, wood floor and the mill and everything's up above you, and I was walking in through there, and creaky floor, you walk back through these aisles and dust as thick as ever on it. And back in the corner, I was walking by these high shelves, and I heard it rustling in the top there, and something started falling down. I'm like, walked over to it. Here's one pink thing, and here's another little pink thing, and here's another little pink thing. And I'm like, wow, these are baby mice, okay. So I went front to the guy, and he's older, and I said, you might want to come back here. I mean, there's some mice back there. And he comes back. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I tried to clean these things up, and, so what it is a feed mill. We have lots of those here. I'm like, okay, whatever. I would be embarrassed if my customers would see that kind of stuff, right? They ruin things, and they depends who walks in there. They're probably some lady will never walk in there again, probably, if they see that kind of stuff. I wasn't very impressed. You know, there's different things like that. We just don't do. One time I had a man was out the back of our store, and he said, he came back, he's like, I saw a rat run from this skid to that skid. And I'm like, wow, that I don't want that to happen in my place, right? Which is embarrassing. That's the store with rats. No, we don't want to have that, right? That's embarrassing. And and sin can be like that too. Before we let it go and we let it go until finally it comes out somewhere, and it's embarrassing. And so then we try to cover it with something else. We try to cover it with this, or we try to cover it with good works, or we try good deeds, or whatever it may be, and we're embarrassed of sin, right? I guess the important part is, are we willing to take care of it, right? Are we willing to go and take care of it, take care of those ugly things that are there? Are we willing to make it, whatever it needs to happen? Another thing they can do is they bring in a lot of trash, right? You see rats, mice, they bring in that box that had those boots in. I mean, there was all kinds of fuzzies and feathers, and I don't know what all it was in. I didn't even see it, but I just imagined that there was all kinds of stuff in there. We did a remodel in our house several years ago, and up in the above the ceiling, there was just stacks of rubber bands and balls and strings and pieces of clothing, and there was all kinds of stuff. There's nests up there. Some rat was having a good time, I guess, and he had it, I think it was from years ago, but he had stuff there. They haul all kinds of stuff in. You know what? Sin does the same thing, right? It brings in one sin into our life, and after a while you have to bring in another one to try to cover that one, and you got to bring in something else to cover this, and that's what it does, right? It ruins a person's life very quickly. And you know, dishonesty and hiding, and you can spin a yarn bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Don't take long. Children can do that, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, this isn't holding up. But you know what? Adults do the same thing, and it can happen as well. But rodents will carry away things. They'll carry stuff away. Obviously, those people lost some, whoever was living there before, they lost some clothing and Super Bowls and whatever all they had up there. They were gone, right? They carried it away. Sin does that, right? It carries away our peace. It carries away our purity. It carries away our, it takes things, our innocence. Does that. Rodents sometimes are dangerous. I think I told you the story where we were in there in that chicken house, my boys, and those rats got frantic in there when they little 10 by 14 shed with five boys and a dad in there, hitting bats and everything else. They were jumping everywhere, and I was like, wow, these things are coming at you with teeth, and what was going on here? They can be a little dangerous. They'll attack people if they want to. You know, I had an uncle one time, years ago, and he got bit in the ear. climbed up on his pillow and I guess bit him in the ear. I don't know what he did, if he swatted at it during the night or what, but you know, they can be dangerous, right? They can do that kind of stuff. My grandpa had one run up his leg. I don't know, probably some of you had that already. He ran up the inside of his pant leg and he grabbed it right there and stopped it. You know, that gets a little close there. What's going on? You know, it's the different people I've heard of that have been bitten by that. So rodents can be dangerous. You know what? Obviously, sin is dangerous, right? That's a fact. When we were in that chicken house, this went through my mind when I was thinking of seeing those rats just running frantically and sort of leaping from the walls and onto things. I thought of, and I don't like to think about this a lot, but I thought of demons jumping, and they were tearing at the person when Jesus came to heal him. And I thought of that with rats, and it sort of gave me that horrible idea that, you know, sin is like that. It can rip a person apart and make them go crazy. So you think about that. There's a lot of different things that you can think of. The devil comes, as it says, he comes as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. They weaken things. Well, no, they carry diseases and bacteria and plagues and different things like that. Over the years, there have been causes of many plagues. They transport fleas and lice and mites and ticks and all those different things. Sin transports things around. You know, sin can pass from one person to another person. We talked about that before. It can go from generation. Doesn't have to, but it can do that, tend to do that through children. 2 Timothy 2, verse 17 says, "And their word will eat as doth a canker," of whom he says these two men, that they could spread it through the church. It can destroy people. And that can happen. So that a canker or a gangrene will spread through our lives very quickly. It can weaken structures. I don't know how many of you have been in an old barn, a granary, or even an old house. I think one of our must have been rat infested our house one time or another. The old farmhouse, and the bottom of the upstairs bedroom doors, you know, they have a little chew mark across the corner down the bottom. And somewhere, there must have been some rat there somewhere. I don't know when, how bad that was, but they chew things, right? They destroy. They destroy. We talked about that different times. They destroy foundations. Our barn wall is being reworked because they're working in there. It does that a lot. They chew through wires. There's many a fire that's been because of a rat chewing through a fire, or a mouse chewing through a fire through a wire. I had a big major line through our attic in at our store where a rat had chewed in, or mouse or something, and it burned pretty far. And thank God it didn't burn the store. But it's pretty good fire on that. They do that. They chew through a lot of different things. And so, like sin, they can hinder growth and productivity. Eventually, too many rodents in a barn will eventually eat more feed than the livestock. They can. And that can be a problem. That will be a problem. Sin, if left go, will hinder growth. Small sins start controlling us and sapping our energy and our thoughts and our giving and our speech and our intake and all the different things. Sin. There's a lot of comparisons if you just let yourself. We could talk about that a lot. On the rodents of the soul, rodents of the heart. And my prayer is that as you think about that, tomorrow evening we'll look at different things that we can do to take care of them. But as you think about that, and little stories on rats, we hate them, right? We don't like them. I don't. And I don't know what all they can do. And you know, we need to have that same dislike for sin in our lives. And too often we think, oh, it's just a little one, or it's just, it's not that big of a deal, or it's not, yeah, it's my tendency. That's just who laymen are, you know, whatever. You know what? Sin is sin, right? God hates sin. And you and I need to as well, or it'll destroy our life. It can destroy our families, destroy our church, can destroy friendships, relationships, a lot of different things. Can destroy our witness. I didn't touch on that, but I had that a little bit. I was thinking about that. You know, it destroys our witness to people because of sin in our life. So let's be faithful to God and look at what God wants for us in our lives. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. We pause before you this evening's hour. We thank you for each person that's here. Lord, we thank you for working in our lives. Thank you for touching our lives. Thank you for forgiveness of sins and the peace that we can have, Lord. Thank you for your interest in us. And pray that we would just have an utmost hatred for any type of sin in our lives, that we would do what we need to do to eradicate that and not overlook it, try to cover it up, whatever it may be, but to do what we need to do, Lord. We realize that our soul eternity is at stake, and we want to all be together someday in heaven. Lord, just go with us this evening as we look into your word a little bit more. Help us as we let your spirit would just move among us, give us clarity of thought. May your spirit use me as just a vessel, as a funnel, just using your word, Lord. We thank you for your word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank Nelson for sharing this evening on eternity and the God. I often stand there and look at oceans, and I am sort of the same. I look at that and I'm like, wow, a great God. And who am I but a dot, less than a dot, in eternity. And think about that. This evening, I would like to consider the subject of the church, and the importance of it. You know, we could talk about building church and what we are building on in our church. And I thought about going down that line. You know, you think about church, and there's a lot of different aspects we could look about church. Thought about talking about the foundation. We talked about it in school devotions here this morning, and I thought about talking about foundations of church and how that all affects us and what we're built upon. We could talk about using the right foundations, having the right materials, following the plan, using a level, a square, you know, building solid church. And it seems like, as I was thinking about this message, it seems like to me, looking on, that you have a spirit-filled church. And I commend you for that. I believe that you are on fire. I think it is, you're having good church life, from what I can see and from what I observe. And that's wonderful. I'm sure that you know when it's not a good church life too as well. So you know what that's like. And so in some ways, I struggled with this a little bit of like, wow, do I need to bring a message? It seemed like God kept bringing me back to this. Do I need to talk about church here, at a place where church is going good? Well, maybe you'll say different than that. I don't know, but that's beside the point. And I was thinking, well, I guess we'll just do this. And because the devil is after the church, right? The devil is after the church. But we do have this verse that we can hang on to, right? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And you and I are part of the big church at large, right? But you, and we're particularly talking about this, that you are part of your personal church, this body here, this unit here. And it's this is a message for me. You know, I know my weaknesses and the things that can happen in my life and in our church. And I would say we have a good church life as well, but I know the weaknesses and everything that can happen in our church as well. You know, and I know what all can happen. I'm not old yet, but my little short lifetime, I've seen what can happen very easily in churches and divisions and disrespect and many things that can happen. I know that there's strengths and there's weaknesses in church. That's part of, that's what makes up church family, right? And I know human tendencies and I know what can happen. I know that there's pride, there's hurts, there's different gifts, there's different backgrounds, there's different quirks, there's different, yeah, all these families and all this making together. And it is really amazing how God can make, when everyone allows him to work through them, how God can make church pleasant and wonderful. It is a family. And I like to just think about that. God intends for it to work. That's his, and I would like this to be an encouragement for you this evening, to put your all into church life and making it what it is. When it's working the way God intended for it to work, it is wonderful, right? And you know, but if not, it can be a discouragement and disappointment and a mistrust, and people walk away from it, and young people fall through the cracks, and things like that happen. That I've experienced, I know that. I know what happens when that happens, and that gets ugly. But when it's working, it's a wonderful blessing. And I was thinking about this a little bit. I'm going to switch gears just a little bit here. We know what it's like when you can tell when someone's just not, I'm going to call it into church, into something. I should say it like that. You can tell when someone's just not into something. You know, you're trying to play a game, and this person doesn't want to play this game, and you know when they're not into it, it's just not fun, right? It's just not fun, right? And when you go to buy something, I don't know, refrigerator. You go there, and that person, you tell that salesman, and he is not into selling something. Like, wow, I'll just walk away. Tough it. He can just keep his refrigerator. You want people to be into what they're doing, right? You want people to be into selling what they're doing and into sold out for what they're for their cause, right? We want that. We don't like work. I don't like working with people that are not into the job that they're in. You know, they're just, I don't like employees that are just, I'm like, you might as well go home. You're not into it here. Just skip it. We want to have a collective push to make this happen, and we can enjoy this together. And you know what? That can happen in church life sometimes. Some you can tell when there's someone's just not into it. And you know what? Sometimes it can just be me. I'm just not into it. Why? Well, there could be a lot of different ways of that. And I think that's what we need to just refresh our minds sometimes and think about it. It could be, I've heard salespeople already, you know, they're supposed to be selling whatever. They're supposed to be selling Ford truck. I don't know if this is what it was, but they're supposed to be selling Ford trucks. And if they're talking about Dodge and all the benefits of Chevy and Dodge and everything else, well, that salesman's a joke, right? And so, in church life, if we're talking about all the things outside of church and the fun that you can have outside of church, and not about church and your family, your church family, and all the blessings that you have as a church family, you're probably not into church, right? So we're going to think about that a little bit tonight. Tonight, each of us, many of us are at least a member of the church, or part of a living structure, part of a living body. The Church of Jesus Christ, we call it. And I guess the question is, how into it are we? How sincere? Do my choices and actions affect the body that I'm a part of? there is no question about it. We live in a very individualistic world where there is no commitment to one thing. They're independent, self-reliant. There's insurances for everything so that I can take care of myself. And I wanted to do that the way I want to do it. People around us, I have employees that work for me that they go to church, but you know what? They don't really know anyone that goes to their church. They go to church on Sunday morning, and it's a couple of them that goes, 500 in their church, and they don't have a clue. Their father dies. There's no family there to help them. The preacher might show up, but that's it. We have something special. As Anabaptist people, we have something special. Not just Anabaptist people, but majority we do. We hold something to that. But you know what? Very quickly, we can lose that because of a lot of things. And so, and I think because of the world that we live in, and the individualistic thing, and all that comes along there, we very quickly can happen. But we want to strive to hold on to that. It's all around us. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to read a couple passages here about church, and then go into this here about the body. 1 Corinthians 12. I just have a question just to start here, and I'll give you the title. I didn't really tell you. I just said we're talking about church, but I didn't really give you the title, and I'll tell you why we're after a while. But should being a part of the body of Christ affect my life? Well, obviously, probably. What I do, what I say, what I involve myself in, where I go, how I live, what I purchase. Does that really matter? Because we see people around us who, as soon as they get a little up against something and something's not right, they're off to the next church. They're off to this or whatever it may be. And it's very quickly, no loyalty. And they quickly jump ship, we call it. So I'd just like to think about that a little bit here. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12 here. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit. As you picture that way back in the early church, they had a wide mixture of people. They had Gentiles, they had Jewish people, they had a lot of different cultures there. And they had to really work to get this together. I believe that's why Paul was talking about that. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it not therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all gone, they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer for it with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ, and members in particular. Each one of us are members in particular, but we're part of the body of Christ. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Now we could talk about this last part here. I read that there. There's probably a lot of things that we could talk about with that. But the title this evening is Body Conscious Living. Body Conscious Living. And you think about that. We live in a world where people are very body conscious, right? this whole world, you know, we live in a people where they're worried about their looks. Even we are, right? I want to make sure my hair's combed. I want to make sure I look good. But, you know, it is a drive today in today's society. What to eat. The exercise. You know, you see people huffing and puffing along the road all over the place. They're trying to keep up, you know, make sure that they look good. Health, yeah, vaccines, health checks, how their clothing fix, what color their hair is, the right color to accent it, and on, all the different things. Women's health magazine, men's health magazines, fashion shows, gyms, all kinds of things, because they're conscious of their body, right? They're conscious how they look, how they appear to other people. And if they don't take care of their body, it's going to be harmful to them. And if they don't look good in the body, it will make them feel bad. If they don't care for it properly, they will age sooner. And, you know, all the things that go through their mind. I'm not saying that's all wrong, but, you know, we think about that. You know, it's one of the top New Year's resolutions that people make is to body consciousness. They're worried about what's happening. 63% have a health or fitness goal. Every year, 63% of Americans, 43% are actively trying to lose weight in America. U.S. has the highest wellness spending at $5,300 per person across the United States. Worried, and that includes exercising, that includes any type of health things that we're trying to take care of our bodies, which makes it a $22 billion industry in America. Per year, it's a lot of money that's spent on health, right? Body conscious. They're conscious of how they look, where they find themselves. They want to make sure. Their choices, every choice they make is about their body, their health, their looks, their feelings, whatever it may be. Another $900 is spent yearly per person, average across per person on appearance and cosmetics and all that kind of stuff. So they're very body conscious, how we look. As humans, as I'm thinking about this here, we are created with a perfect body. God created us. And it's amazing how God has done that. Our perfect body. And yes, we have sicknesses, we have all that kind of stuff that happens after because of the fall. But as humans with a soul in that body, and He is very interested in each one of us. We can't underestimate the value of a soul to God. We can't underestimate that, what he's done. His great love for us individually, His care, His guidance, His interest. And He listens to each of our prayers, and He knows each of our trials. And He knows our strengths. He knoweth our frame, it says. He knows our body. He gives us all power through the Holy Spirit in His life. He knows the very numbers of our hairs of our head, right? That's just amazing to me as He does that. He gives us power to live lives that are pleasing to Him. He gives us new life, and He is there. But another wonderful blessing about this is that we can become a member, as those individual people, we can become a member of the body of Christ. And I was just going to draw a body up here. We're just going to use this this sort of look here. Gingerbread man, but whatever. Let's use as a. I'm sorry. Last night you probably couldn't even see over there. I don't know, but not much to see. But just thinking about a body, okay? As a body here, the miracle of how God can take an individual person, you and I, right, and make him a part of the body of Christ. We call it the body. The Bible uses the body of Christ. Church is likened to a building, it's likened to a flock, it's likened to a bride, it's likened to a family, a house, a spiritual house. But it's likened to the body of Christ. He uses that. And I think it's a wonderful example of how the church should work as you think about that. Very amazing. The body of Christ that is living, it's working, it's beauty, it's a blessing to the world around them. And so to make a body work perfectly, physically, we have to have members in there that are working right, organs, and everything needs to be functioning correctly. It needs to be alive, it needs to be working and functioning. And when that's all happening, it's beautiful, right? Our bodies are beautiful. And the same way with the church. When that is functioning properly, it's perfect. There's different parts of our, I didn't draw these on here, but we have hands, we have feet, we have arms, we have hearts, things that we can't even see. We have kidneys, we have lungs, we have all that stuff that's all part of us to make us who we are, to make our body function, and we can live, and I can talk to you, you can look back at me, and we can communicate. It's amazing, right? Really is amazing. Same way in the church, all those different bodies, you know, you take a heart, and we can set it here by itself, and it may pump for a very little bit, but soon it's done. If you take it out live and set it here. I could take a lung, I can hold that up here, but you know, that's not really, it's very important to the body, but useless in itself, right? It is needed in that body with all the other things to make it work properly. Christ has, in verse 18 here, we have read that Christ has sent, no, God has set the members, everyone in the body as it has pleased him. He put a heart there, he put a lung there, he put two kidneys there, he put everything exactly the way he wanted it to be. And the Church of Jesus Christ, he put you and you and you and you. He puts each of us there where he wants us. Sometimes we choose to go and do our own thing, but you know, God wants us in the body. He has created us with certain gifts. He has created us to the potential to do to make those with those gifts to make them be useful to the body. No one is exempt from that. We can all be a blessing. Doesn't matter who you are. You can be a blessing to the church, and you're there for a reason. It's very important. However, our interests, so since we're individual, but do we make this body the church, right? Since we're individual, sometimes I'm jumping back between a human body and a church, and I got to make sure I'm thinking right here, but our interests of, or connection has a lot to do with our very own salvation and as that of others, you know, the witness that we show to others of this body, of how we portray this body, the growth it experiences. I'm sure none of us would desire to be a hindrance to the body that we're a part of. I'm sure none of us would desire to be a hindrance to it, to its growth, to its witness. But you know, in life, we become involved with life, right? We become involved with our own agendas, our own problems, work, money, things, all these things that, yeah, they're legitimate too sometimes. Family, jobs, neighbors, cares of life, all these different things are all part of our lives. They can become hindrances to us being a part of that body. But they also can be blessings to that as well, right? They bless that body. Different backgrounds. That's what makes church. A heart is totally different than a toe, right? They're totally different, but they're very much needed, right? Very, very important. So my prayer is that the body members on a, you know, my toe down here could care less if my ear's up here, right? That doesn't really matter, except that they do all work together, right? The one fails, something else kicks in. You hear that they talk about that, their organs. You know, something's missing or the other ones are kicking in. That's the way church life should be. So my prayer this evening is that we become more body conscious of our church. Things that we do, the thoughts that we think, all that thing that we would have a body consciousness. I'm doing this for my church, is for my family. Is this going to be good? Or is it going to be a detriment, or is it not? Is it going to leave a good witness for them? Is it not? It's for my church. Body-conscious life. Body-conscious living. It affects our lives, my life, your life. We, you and I, are what makes this body. At a wedding, you know, when a husband and wife are man and woman, they're joined together. The Bible talks about this being, they're joined together in one flesh. And yet they're still individual units, right? Somewhat the same as a church. All individual people all put together to make this one body, one flesh. And all of us together collectively, each one of yous, right, are all part of the bride of Christ for the groom, Jesus. And we all make this all one thing together, collectively the body of Christ. As the body of Christ, when we become the we become part of the body, all aspects of our life should become body conscious, conscious of the local body that I'm a part of. Turn to Romans 12. I'm going to just quickly read through some verses here, some passages. And I'm not going to make a lot of comment on some of these, but it's just talking about the church. And just keep this in mind about each one of you as individual people. And yet you're part of this body, this church, your church, Cornerstone. And that's very important, or whatever church you're part of here. But Romans 12, verses 1 to 18. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, this is talking about the body again, all members have not the same office. They're not, you know, my fingers aren't called to do what my lungs are. That's obviously, we know that, right? Very, very basic. I like how he explains it. Same way with church. We're not all called to the same thing. That's okay. That's what makes the body. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Thinking about body consciousness. Because you're part of that body, you're going to do some of these things, right? Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. That's what happens. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. This is in church life. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I'll stop reading there. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, we have, I don't know where to stop and start in here, but Ephesians 4, starting at verse 1, it's talking about the church and the unity of it. Therefore the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. God has called us each to live out his life. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Mine's uppercase S. So the unity of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all, and through you all, through and in you all. Now starting, moving down to verse 11. And in this church, in the body here, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? So that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive many, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Turn back just a little bit, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verses 28 to 30. Well, I almost can't miss this part. Verse 25. Well, I don't know where to start in here. It says, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ, who loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church. That's what Jesus is coming back for. He's coming back for a glorious church. And a glorious church is a church, we use that word glorious. That word glorious is showing God, who God is to the world. The glory of the Lord is the spirit or the being of God, right? The glory of the Lord, and it as the church, he presents himself a glorious church, a body that was glowing with Christ's likeness, right? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members, verse 30 here, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And it goes on there, it talks about, shall a man leave his wife. In verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You know, it's the church is a wonderful thing, and it's as you think about it, it is really a blessing. As you think about the body, all the different parts of a body, there's 12 main parts of the body. I think it's the skeletal, the nervous system, the muscular, the respiratory, and it goes down through the different aspects of it. And you know, as you think about that, they're all different parts. You have different members in the body, right? Some are great at communication, some at inspiring, some at connections, some at digesting, some are strong bones, backbones in the church, right? Some are more mission-minded, they're willing to spread. Some are life-giving, some purify, some are quick to call. Some are more quiet. You know, it's just that's what makes church, right? That's part of it. So it isn't so much about the individual organ, but about as a body, as a general. So what am I doing to hinder or help the growth of the body and all that I do in my life? As I was thinking about that, we're all important, you know, this, for the health, the growth, and the impact of the body, we need to be body conscious. We want our church to grow, to be here for the next future generations. At least I do, and I'm sure you do as well. Today, we see many people leaving church, laying standards down, and just, the church hurt me, and it didn't help me, and it's cold, and it's, you know, it's not on fire, and all the different excuses you hear, and they walk to the next church, right? Usually, they take their problems with them. But you and I, we have to understand is that we have a huge impact on that body. If that body's not doing what we think it should be, what am I doing to make it, to help it? Are we living a body-conscious life? Are we worried, or do we think about that? Or are we thinking about what the body is not doing, not what I should be doing to help the body? And I think that's very important. The heart is not the body. It's part of the body, an important part of the body. The nervous system, the toes, the blood, the brain, everything is all part of the body. They're not in and of themselves. They're not the body. It takes every part of it, right? And we understand that. So, living a body-conscious life. We'll try to go through this quickly here, but I have some points here talking about this. I'm going to try to go through this quickly here. I think I have a lot here we'll see what God wants us to say here. But number one, as you live a body-conscious life, number one thing we remember is the preeminence of the head. The head up here, which is Jesus Christ and his word. We cannot forget that. It's very important, and I know you know that, I know that, but I'm just going to reiterate it here again. There is no way that man can build the body or keep it healthy with man's ideas, by his philosophies, by his reasonings, or by his ideas. It takes the head. It takes Jesus Christ. And it's only as we look into his word and seek his word, and as we apply it to our lives, it's the word that gives guidance, that we direct the rest of the system. And I maybe mark this as being the head and then the nervous system of the whole body. That needs to flow through the whole body, the word, and how every part of the body needs to be impacted by that. No matter where you find yourself, no matter where you're at in the body, the nerves are connected somewhere, I think. As far as I know, anyway, I'm not a doctor, but they go through the whole body. There's nerves through the whole body, and that needs to be impacting and guiding and directing the body the whole way through, just going through it all. if our church is to become strong and stay strong, it needs to be feeding upon that word. It needs to be allowing it to work in us and allowing it to be a part of us. You know, I talked about this before, podcasts and books, good books, and even our brothers and sisters, they have their place. They're very important. Brothers and sisters are very important. But there's nothing better than just a daily washing of the Word of God as we read it every day. And each member, if we all do this, that all helps. It puts the knowledge from the head throughout the body and helps to recognize that we're all part of the same thing. I think many times when that happens, when there's problems in there, some of those members maybe aren't allowing God's Word to just wash them and cleanse them and work through their life. We need to desire the milk of the Word. You know, as leaders, I think we need to think about this. You know, as we preach, I think of at different times that when I'm preparing and I'm sharing, I'm like, am I feeding the flock? Is it digestible? Is it the right mix? Are they getting the right nourishment? Are they going as they're growing? Can all ages get something? Is there something for the young and for the old? Different callings in life. And my prayer is that that's what happens. And I'm sure that you as ministry do want to do that as well. That we have a total mixed ration for everyone. And that God's Spirit can use poor men to do that. And that is amazing to me. And he shares it. But that's very important. But you know, sometimes as people, we sit in church and maybe something just doesn't seem right. And we're sitting there and we're not getting something out of it. Maybe the song leader seems uninspired. We're sitting there and he's uninspired. Well, look for the next thing. Look what you can find out of the book, out of the song that we're singing. Maybe it's in a Sunday school lesson. Look for what you can find. Maybe the teacher isn't maybe as well used, but look what you can find. Be body conscious. What can I learn out of this? How can I be better for my church? Think about it. God's word, and am I living it? Am I living a body conscious life? Number two, it takes prayer. It goes right along with feeding well, feeding properly. And prayer could maybe be considered the immune system. Antibodies, the lymph nodes, the bone marrow, the white blood cells. And so important for the body of Christ, for the health of the body. So what does prayer accomplish? Well, number one, it's through prayer that sins are forgiven. We become the child of God, right? Number two, through prayer, their victories are won. It's not just for us, but for the body. Though my brothers and sisters can win victories through my prayers. Number three, it's through prayer that God dwells in our midst. As we pray and we ask him to come down and be here this morning, or in Sunday morning, or this evening, whatever it may be. It's through prayer that the church is guarded from evil. It's through prayer that the church can still advance in enemy territory, even today. You know, in the early church, prior to the manifestation of the power of God and the work of God among his believers, there was prayer, corporate prayer from the believers. And in Acts talks about that different times. Before Pentecost, there was 120 in the room and they prayed together, right? Peter and John, they were going up into the temple to pray. And there was definitely prayer. It was very much a part of that. And as you think about that, a body-conscious person is praying for his brothers and sisters, praying for himself and praying for his brothers and sisters, very much so. For their ministry, for their leaders, and you know, many times we glibly say, I'm praying for you, right? Or we send a text, I'm praying for you. Do it. A body-conscious person does it. Stops and prays, right? Maybe that's just me. Yeah, I'm praying for you. Well, yeah, a quick breathe prayer, but do it. A body-conscious person cares. There's power there. We need to do it. Prayer for the faithful, prayer for the hurting, prayer for those struggling, the youth, those in the thick of parenting, you know, children. There's a lot of things, so many things that we can pray for. And let people know that, you know, I'll pray for you this week. Maybe it's a mother that you're talking to that's in the middle of child of young children and teething. Tell them, you know, I'm praying for you this week. That's body conscious. Men, you know what, you know, hey, this man's flying somewhere, going somewhere, and you know the temptations that all happen. I'll pray for you this week. I'll pray for you that you remain faithful. I don't know how many texts I got since I'm up here from my people in my church. You know, they're praying for me. I believe they are. And that is a help to me. That's body-conscious living, not just for the pastor. I hope they're doing it for each other too, but I'm thankful for that. Body-conscious living requires prayer. Number three, unity. We need to understand this. A body-conscious life strives for unity. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 talks about that there would be no schism in the body. Huge problems when there is a schism or a tear or a division or a separation. It does not work. And the eye comes out, becomes disconnected, speaks of divisions, strife, and envy. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 says, I beseech that there be no divisions, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and judgment. Does that happen automatically in your church? I don't think so. I hope it does, but I don't think it does. We are all different. That's life. God created us different. God created the heart different than the hand. God created the toe different than the whatever, the ear. You know, we're all called to do different things. We are different. That's okay. God wants us that way. But you know, it takes a recognition in a mindset that I am concerned about the body, not just that I'm an ear, and that I just need to do the ear things, and that I'm going to be an ear, and that's what I'm going to do. No, you need to. The ear works with everything else. We need to allow that all work together. Submission takes a lot of that. A lot of things that I'm jumping over here, but you know, we need to do that. Number four, a body conscious person understands that there needs to be fellowship. There needs to be fellowship. And that fellowship is relating back and forth between brothers and sisters and having, we are social beings. Maybe that could be considered the flesh or the meat of the body. I don't know what you want to call it. We need the fellowship of the body to hold us together. Lung is useless by itself. The hand is useless by itself. Fellowship. Fellow, we hear this sometimes. Fellow comrades in the same ship going the same direction, right? And when you try to start going the other direction and he's trying to row that way and you're rowing that way, obviously it doesn't work, right? Sometimes it's fun to do that if you're with your children or something. You try to row the other way when they're rowing this way, and it causes problems, right? Church life sometimes, I don't know if we think it's fun. I think we just do it. I don't know, but it happens. In a marriage, it don't work. It needs communication. It needs to be there. In the body, it works as well. It needs to work as well. We need encouragement. We are needy people. Even though we are an ear, or we are a toe, or we are a leg, or whatever, we are needy people. We need the rest of the body. We need to hear that there are others who are facing the same battles. And that fellowship, that's what happens as we share together the same tests, the same stresses. We know as social beings that we are going to find fellowship somewhere. We will find it somewhere. But as being a part of the body of Christ, I think it's sad when you find people that they're part of this group or they're part of this church, but they do this during the week and this, they're giving their allegiance over here. And that's not what God intends. I'm not saying you can't have anything else, but you know, it is our church. Are we body conscious? When there's things happening at our church, we are there. It's part of it. That's what we're part of the body. Very important. And part of that fellowship goes into, and so I think it's somewhat of the same term of contribution and distribution of money and sharing together, fellowship. We're sharing together and bringing it out, sharing with each other. When our brother hurting, we're there. We're willing to dip in. And it's back and forth the whole way through. Hebrews 13, verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. Communicate is fellowship. Don't forget that. Body conscious life. Number five, we have loyalty. And I maybe thought of this as the muscles that hold it all together. And I talked of this before, you know, when we're not, I don't like having employees when they're just not into it. And you know what? Church life is just as important. A body can't be very strong if the parts are not loyal to it, right? If the heart decides, you know what, I'm just tired of it, the rest of the body hurts, right? That's pretty important. A body conscious person will defend their brother. They will stand for them through the thick and through the thin. No backbiting of any degree. No slander, no gossip. What if all of a sudden the ear, if they could talk, would start mocking the nose and saying, you know what, you're not important. That's disgusting. Why are you even there? You're sticking out in front of the face. That's you're trying to be in the front. You know what? Well, that doesn't work right? There's loyalty. They're loyalty to the body. They want to be a part of the body. This is who we are. They're loyal. A body-conscious person will hold fast to Bible doctrine, what the head wills. A body-conscious brother or sister can be trusted with sensitive personal information. No seizures. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone with... I had a brother-in-law who had seizures, and that racks a body pretty much, okay? And in church, do we ever have that? I hope not. Body-conscious person is there to hold it together, to be loyal to it, to stand for modesty, stand for good speech, for purity and stewardship, and all the things that could part of it. Loyal in church attendance, in giving to needs, and sharing the load of song leading and devotions and Sunday school teaching and hostess and work days and cleaning and all the different things that are part of church. Loyal to body programs, school, church, mission outreaches, brotherhood assistance, all the different things that they're loyal to. I think it's very important that we do that. Body consciousness believes in separation or is part of their life as well. Scripture is very clear that the body is to be separate from the world. It needs to be maintained purity. And you know what? To be a healthy body, there are some things we just don't allow to come into that body, right? To keep it healthy. Same way with church life, right? We don't allow some things come in. We don't touch some things. We don't do this. We don't do that. We don't smell some things. We don't listen to some things. We don't do different things because we're trying to keep that body pure. We're trying to keep it separate. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And we think about that as we're doing that because it's just, we're not the only one of this body. You know, the nose could breathe into something. The hand could go take something and put it into the mouth. There's a lot of different things that can happen. And each one of us is very responsible for the amount, any type of germ or thing that we're bringing into the body. As you think about that, a body conscious life is concerned about that. What am I doing? This purchase might be okay for me, but what about my weaker brother? Will it be a hindrance to him? This dress that I'm making, or this dress material, do I care? What my sister that's a little weaker, do I care if I offend her? This music, this video clip, this clothing, this hairstyle, this, you know, the places I go, the amusements, this purchase. Am I body conscious? Do I care, even though maybe I can do it? Do I care about my brothers and sisters? Pretty many years ago, we had a man who struggled with this years ago. We had a man who struggled with some drinking problems, and we as a brotherhood decided, you know, we're not going to go to any restaurant that serves alcoholic drink. But you can't find too many anymore that are like that. So that's a little hard now, but we did that for a while to help that man get over his thing. And that's important. That left an impression on me. I was younger then, but I left an impression on me that, you know what? As a church, we can decide we're going to do this because we're going to help our brother. We're going to help our sister. We are body conscious. That's what we're about. And we want to make sure that the church stays healthy. Number 7, we need discipline. A strong church is a disciplined church. A body that doesn't exercise is not strong, right? It takes discipline to eat right, to exercise, to rest, to take care of our bodies. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. It takes time. It means letting go. And so as we are part of our church, we're going to have to exercise in our church. We're going to have to do things. We're going to have to help our brothers and sisters. We're going to have to make it happen. If the lung decided, you know what, I'm tired of just breathing it out all the time and just let it go, why, it wouldn't work, right? We need, each one of us, we need to do our part. It takes effort. As a body-conscious person, we realize that it is up to me individually as well to curb selfishness and worldliness and distractions and unhealthy desires. It takes effort to do that. It does not happen automatically. It takes effort to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. A healthy body, church body, requires discipline as a group and starts with a body-conscious individual. Number 8, any living organisms needs to grow to keep alive. If it is dormant too long, it's not going to keep alive. So if we are dormant members, my question is, are we dormant members or are we alive? Something that is living will reproduce itself. It will grow the body. It will replace itself. That is growing ourselves personally. Personal growth never stops until death. But what about the growth of our brothers and sisters? When there are flaws in ourselves or another, are we there to help? Are we there to challenge, to be challenged? Are we willing to do that? Could be our families. A body-conscious father or mother will endeavor to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It doesn't depend on the church. He's willing in himself to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Could be in our witnessing. A body-conscious person is concerned about growing the body. Witnessing programs, personal invitations, reaching out to our local brotherhood in many ways. That's what God is looking for. You know, as I thought about that, you know, Cain asked this question way back 6,000 years ago. He said, am I my brother's keeper? And God didn't really answer that at that point. But today that question rings down through the ages. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we are. In the body of Christ, we are our brother's keeper. We are there to help them. And we need to just I have a couple quick points. Just quick points that you could just jot down and think about these, okay? Number one, we need to know each other and not just about each other. We need to physically, K-N-O-Y, know each other, not just about each other. Personally, how are you doing today? What has happened in your life? What's happening? And really get to know our brothers and sisters. I think that's very important. Do we understand their struggles? Do we know the quality of their marriage? What the struggles that they're facing in life? Do we know them? Number two, we need to take time to observe. As we're a body-conscious person, we're going to take time to observe. We're going to look around and, there's someone that maybe needs a little help, a little encouragement there. Maybe I'll go help him there. And we do that. We take heed, brethren. Exhort one another. Exhort one another daily, it says, right? So we need to do that. Our 10-cent time slot should be $10 time slots. We need to put effort into them. But many times we're always in a hurry. At least I am in a hurry and we're running and we got to go to the next meeting and do the next thing and do the next thing. You know what? If a body-conscious person, they care about the brotherhood. Number three, we initiate constructive conversation. It's easy to turn around at church and say, how's the weather? Or what's happening? And we are very protective of what's happening in our lives. At least I am. I don't like to just blow everything about my life. There's two sides to that. There's different people, and there's some that just talk about everything, and there's some that don't, right? Okay, and that's okay. But I think too often we've grown into a church, at least we can, into a church that's just very, very surface talking. Not really like, what is happening in your life? What really is happening? How are you making out in whatever it may be? In your struggle, sister, in depression or postpartum, whatever it may be. And you talk about it, how are you? Lady just had a baby or whatever, and you say, how really are you? Checking that out. Number four, support of restoration. When there's a brother that's hurting, you know, we are there for them. We are right there. We want restoration. We don't, you know, it's very simple, very easy. If someone gets, they made a failure or whatever, we just, we're sort of scared to talk about them, talk to them, you know. I don't know what to say. I'm praying for them, but we don't know what to say. But we are concerned about restoration. We want them to get back there. We want them to make it right. Number five, it may require us sometimes to step out of our comfort zone. Being body conscious may do that. The devil, you know, we need to be willing to share what our struggles are. And that's hard for me to do sometimes, you know. Well, after all, I'm the preacher. I don't want to tell them what all I'm struggling with, right? You know what that's like? All of us, I'm a good dad, I'm an old man, I don't want to tell him what my problems is, or whatever it may be. We need to be willing to step out of our comfort zone and say, look here, this is right where I'm at. We have accountability groups as men and women, and that's what I really cherish about that, is little groups, and some older men and younger men, and we share together. This isn't always perfect, but it does help, and it's good for young men to hear the old men. That they have struggles. That's just one that's good. But we need to be willing to just put yourself out there. This is what's happening. Number six, we need to accept input in our life. Into my life. So we're willing to help everyone. And we want to do this. But we need to be willing to accept input. Right? Hey, brother. I saw you did this. Do you think that's really right? I saw you relate to your children. I heard you say this to your children. Is that really what you should do? Or child training. I think it's, I remember back when I was just learning, and I had some older men that told me a couple things, how to take care of my children, and I was, okay, thank you. I don't know if I thought that then, but, you know, it was, they were body conscious, and they helped me. I remembered that. Now, how ready am I to do that to my brothers now today as I help them? Number seven, we need to remember in body consciousness, living a body conscious life, that we aren't the Redeemer, but we can point to the Redeemer. We are not the person that can help them get better, but we can point them. We can help them find the answers in life. We can stand beside them. We can walk with them. We can do where we are not the Redeemer. We just point them to the Redeemer. Prayer is an important part. Being there for them, very important part. And I think we need to remember that. So where are we this evening? In your life, I hope that is a challenge to you in your life as you think about that. It says, Ephesians 4, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is body consciousness in your life tonight? Does church just mesh in where it fits in your life and is convenient? Or is it a part of your life, your daily friendships, your choices, your purchases, your activities, your mindset? Is that part of your life? I trust that it is here. I'm sure it is. I just wanted it to be a challenge to you. I'll just open it up here. Anyone have anything to add that I maybe said wrong, or anything that you think was a challenge to you in your life, or whatever it may be? I'll just open it up here for maybe what's a blessing to you and your church. Sometimes it's good. I didn't mention that in there, but it's good to... It is, and I know this is easy for a preacher to say, okay, but it is good. It is really good for young to old to all of them to stand up or to give a testimony sometime. I try to challenge my children in that. Just, you know, be ready, right? We're supposed to be ready with a testimony, right? Doesn't need to be long, but it gives a little inkling into what your brothers, what's happening in their lives. Anyway, I'll be quiet now. Okay, what do you have to share? Anyone have anything? I won't spend a lot of time here, but... Anyone have anything to share here quickly? Yes.
You really convicted me tonight because I don't need to be here for the whole revivals, but this morning I got a death message. Now what do I do? I said no. I will not take them to their funeral, to their dad and granddad's funeral. So I can stay here. I look at the church much broader than just here. I love it here, don't get me wrong. But the Church of Christ is much broader than just here.
That is correct. No, thanks for sharing, because it's real, right? Thank you. Anyone else?
One of the earlier statements you said is the church is amazing. The church is amazing. Can you hear me, Mike? Right? When through God it works together. And I think we forget. We forget, you know, we get used to life and this is kind of normal. And I have to think of, you know, if you were given an old car or something else, I like old things, and friends or people, you know, they came over to see it, or they maybe wanted to take it for a drive, or, you know, enjoy it with you. But you would want to protect it, and you would want to make sure they treat it properly and they don't do things that are going to hurt it or take away from it. I think you covered a lot of content in here, and we have something amazing, but it also takes work, and it takes, you know, each one has to do our part to protect and value and make it amazing. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Takes everyone. Anyone else? If not, that's fine. You have a good church here, so I don't want to, I'm not, by anything I said, I'm not implying that you don't. And by anything I said, I don't mean that we have a perfect church that I am at either. I'm normal the same as you are, okay? We're all people. And it takes every person. We are part of the greater body of Jesus Christ. And I think the further time moves along, I think you see more of that coming together even more because of the distinction starts becoming bigger and bigger. I start seeing it different ways, different places that I'm like, you know what? It might do a little different than we do, but we're serving God together. And if they choose to do it like that, as long as it's biblical. But all right, thank you all for being here. Sorry I got just a little later here, but I hope that you can have a good night yet and see what God has for us tomorrow. Be faithful. Live body-conscious lives. Tomorrow, as you go about throughout your day, think about that. How's my sister doing? How's my brother doing? When I do this, when I do that, as a breather pair, it's about the church, about our sister that's traveling, about whoever, whatever it may be, a brother that's in Mexico, all those different things, you know, he's doing that, and that's that, but we all have our own personal struggles as well, right? So we all need the prayers of each other, just that's very important, so why don't we stand and